Ben Fred Fridays on ScoopsWithDannyMac.com, and you hear Ben Fredrickson of STL Today in the St. Louis Post-Dispatch every Friday on the website. And this is exclusively brought to you by Henderson Watercutty, full-service criminal defense firm dedicated to helping individuals fight criminal charges in Missouri and Illinois. That's state, federal, municipal courts. They handle it all. They have a wonderful website. So if you get a parking violation, a speeding ticket, or something that's serious, you go to their website, and they've got little boxes for what you may be going through. You click on the box, it'll tell you exactly some of the most commonly asked questions, and they can help you. Their number, 314-645-4400, 314-645-4400, Henderson Watercutty, protecting your rights, defending your freedom. That's what they always talk about, and they are available 24/7. Ben Fredrickson has done a remarkable job covering the St. Louis Blues all the way back when the Blues were in that first round against Winnipeg, and we were doing this visit when Ben was on the road. Some early mornings, some late nights, it didn't matter, but he's been with the Blues on this unbelievable run and writing great stuff, and wrote another neat piece today about some of the big names and how they're basically taking on a movie-type role with what has been an unbelievable movie scene, the St. Louis Blues. Ben, as always, good morning to you. How are you?
Doing well, man. Thanks for the kind words, and it's been fun. I think at one point we were recording from, I was in Winnipeg and you were in Monterey, Mexico.
That's correct.
And now the Cardinals might be wishing they could go back to Monterey, and that we're still covering hockey. It's been crazy, man. It's fun. It's fun to watch this team evolve, and it's really been a fun team to cover because there are so many characters and so many different heroes on any given night. They're a tough, resilient bunch, and they are truly convinced that they can win this thing. And their trip to Boston was one that tried them, and they had a response. And here they come back home with the first win in the organization's history in a Stanley Cup final series, and they're coming back to a place that just sold out back-to-back games that were not played at Enterprise Center. It's going to be a Saturday unlike any I think we've ever seen in downtown St. Louis, and it's going to be fun to be there and try to capture the thing.
Well, we'll get into that in just a moment. Let's talk about the atmosphere in Boston. What was it like?
Wild, wacky. They are loud. They get after it. I think there was kind of an unwelcoming vibe for Blues, and not in that negative way, but you know, this is serious business in Boston. They know what it's like to win Stanley Cups, and their fans get after it. And I think the Blues were thrilled to dive into that. There were some fans who I think had some rough encounters. Maybe got some popcorn thrown at them. I heard that was the chatter up on Press Row. The Black Aces, who are kind of the practice players for the Blues, didn't have a place to sit up in the press box. They basically stood around watching the game, so not a lot of hospitality there. I think some Blues alums, you had Mr. Tkachuk and Barrett Jackman get told they can't get on an elevator because Bill Belichick's on it. Stuff like that, man. It's Craig Berube is walking into his trying to get to his pre-series press conference. And he's walking through with some of the Blues staffers, and he gets stopped and asked for his credential. This is the coach of the Blues.
No way.
And stuff like that. So the Blues, not exactly the welcome mat for him in Boston, but it didn't seem to faze him too much. They're so good on the road, and they like that atmosphere. They didn't play like the team they can be in game one. And Boston, the Boston media kind of, I think, at least some of them thought, okay, we're going to roll these guys like they've rolled every team, and Boston has been a steamroller on the way to the Stanley Cup final. But, you know, having watched the Blues and the way they've bounced back and gotten better as series went along, I think most of us expected them to have a better performance in game two. And they did. They deserved to win that game. They probably deserved to lose game one by more than they did. But they played a complete game in game two, and it still had to go to overtime to get it. And dominated an overtime session that really, you know, you thought they deserved to win it, but you know, in hockey, that doesn't mean you win. My colleague Jim Thomas quotes Clint Eastwood, "Deserves ain't got nothing to do with it." But when they played the way they did in that overtime, they didn't leave anything up to chance, and they dominated the puck. They passed better. They hit even harder than they did in game one. I think the Bruins have convinced themselves they can play this physical game with the Blues, but I'm telling you, Dan, they don't want to. The Blues dropped 50 hits on the Bruins, a season high in that game, and did some damage. Now they got to pay a cost here with Oscar Sundquist having to sit, but they're not going to stop playing this team physical. They feel like if they continue to be physical over the course of a best of seven series, they can wear down this Bruins team like they wore down the San Jose Sharks.
I was curious about the response of the Blues in game two, and I give Berube a lot of credit because I think he doesn't get enough credit for the tactician that he's been, especially at home. You know, last change, matchups, those kind of things, mixing and matching lines of the opposition, those kind of things. He's done a really good job with that. And as a fan, you watch the hits and you see the goals or you see a great play set up by a line. But you don't really get into the tactical looks of a hockey game. And I don't know about you, but I don't think that Craig Berube has gotten enough attention or credit in that regard.
Yeah, I think we focus on his fire because that's in our face. And it's also maybe a little more sexy, the fact that he screams and hollers in the bench and the guys want to run through a wall for him. But he has made some very, very strong X and O type moves over the course of this season, really. He was the one who led the turn to Jordan Binnington. Let's start there. You look at his decision to pair Alexander Steen and Robert Thomas on that fourth line and how well that's played out. He's shaken up his power play units after they were, you know, struggling in the previous series, and that seems to have worked. He toggled, you know, he kind of moved around Schwartz and Shin in the Winnipeg series, and that worked. He has made some really nice tweaks throughout the course of this postseason, and now he's going to have to continue to make more. He's got to pick the right filler for some guys who are banged up or out. Robert Thomas, I don't know if we'll see him again in this series. Now, there's Berube has said that the hit that was given to him by Torrey Krug did not knock him out, that he was hurt previously, and he is dealing with some sort of a left wrist issue, but he didn't play after that hit, and he didn't play in the next game. So I got to think maybe he's more roughed up than he was, trying to balance that injury over the course of the postseason. He's been a huge part, so they got to figure out what to do there. They got to play a game without Oscar Sundquist, because he's got to figure out what to do there. Maybe Zach Sanford is the guy who gets the opportunity. But he's made some really brilliant decisions. And then on top of just kind of the X's and O's, I think his coaching beyond simple motivation has been very strong. You know, we talked in San Jose about Vladimir Tarasenko, and he wasn't good in game one. He had one shot on goal in that series, and that's not good enough for him. And Craig Berube had a choice. He had to either stick up for Vladimir Tarasenko, throw Vladimir Tarasenko under the bus, or try to find some place kind of in the middle. And he did the perfect job. He praised his player, but he also said, look, we got to have more from him. And he told Vlad the same thing. And Vladimir Tarasenko responded. He has played like a beast since that second game in San Jose. It continued in game two against Boston. I mean, Dan, he's got blood, you know, streaked across his uniform after the game. His gait was breaking down on him. He missed about 10 minutes there. I think the ice, I'm going to try to talk to some of the guys about this before they go back to Boston, but I think the ice in Boston has given guys some trouble. Some pucks are bouncing and bouncing over sticks. I think maybe some skates are starting to, you know, feel like they're maybe not catching, not having the right sharpness, because we're talking about May. We're going to be talking about, you know, hockey in the summer basically now on the ice, and how the ice integrity changes as the weather warms up is, I think, a big factor as you get to the Stanley Cup final. And maybe guys are realizing that a little bit, but Tarasenko has been a force, and he's been relentless. He's been using his physicality. He's been creating opportunities for others. He's just been doing all the things that he can do to impact the game, and that really stems from Berube challenging him. So, I mean, you could talk all day about the things that Berube has done right. It seems like everything he touches works so far.
In terms of Jordan Binnington, what's the national media been taking a hold of with him and some of the fun press conferences that he gives?
Yeah, he had his national meet the media day in Boston, and he didn't give much to him, but he had some of his Jordan Binnington one-liners. He says, I swear to God, he saves his best answers for Jim Thomas. It's kind of like a duo. He seems to really have his best comments to Jim Thomas. The latest being, you know, what does he think of being compared to Kurt Warner? To which he responded, "It sounds like a really great story, but I don't know who Kurt Warner is." And not being dismissive, but truly not knowing. So hopefully you read Jim Thomas's story and found out. But you know, it's been funny to watch him kind of roll his eyes at this storyline that the Bruins are supposed to have an advantage of him over him because they had him in Providence, and that's really the remarkable part of this story. And there's so many aspects of it with Jordan, but he was so low on the Blues agenda that he actually spent last season with Providence in there with the Bruins minor league affiliate. So he has played against some Bruins when in the minors, and their coaching, you know, their goalie coaching staff is familiar with him. And that was kind of a big storyline entering the series, is could they potentially have an advantage? I don't think they have much of one. They have been trying to go after him in the five hole a little bit. He let two goals in there in game two, but then played pretty rock solid after that. I don't think he's the same guy that they knew last season.
We're visiting with Ben Fredrickson of the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. Ben Fred Fridays on ScoopsWithDannyMac.com. And this is always exclusively brought to you by Henderson Watercutty, a full-service criminal defense firm dedicated to helping individuals fight criminal charges in Missouri and Illinois. And please check out their website if you have any type of offense, no matter how big or small, stlcriminaldefense.com, stlcriminaldefense.com, and their number 314-645-4400, and they are available 24/7, holidays, weekends, it doesn't matter. Someone will answer and help you. Ben, what advice would you give a fan that's got a ticket to Game 3? What's it like? What do you take in? The sights and the sounds of the things that are happening around the game, whether it be pregame, intermission, postgame, those things. What would be your advice to a fan?
Sell it. Get probably $2,000 off that bad boy. No, I'm kidding. Of course. But seriously, though, I did look up the prices today, and I talked to a guy who kind of is in the secondary ticket market, and he told me that you're basically getting about $1,000 average transaction cost on a ticket on the secondary market for that game. That's how bad people want to go. You could probably make a case that it would be cheaper to go to one of the games in Boston from St. Louis than it would be to go here in St. Louis. That's the demand. And they're going to be high prices. If you're lucky enough to have one, man, I would go down there as early as possible. It's going to be insane. You're not going to want to be trying to roll in at the last minute. Luckily, the NHL got a better sense and decided to cancel the Gloria sing-along before the game. I don't know who thought that was a good idea, but enough outrage, and they decided to peel back on that, which I'm glad that they will do that after, if they win, of course. And I would get down early and just soak it in because, you know, you've waited so long. This is the first time ever that a Blues fan base will welcome back a team that has one win in the Stanley Cup final. They had been 0-13 before the game, the win in Boston. And really, it's hard to put into perspective the fact that they are now closer to winning the Stanley Cup than ever before for so many reasons. Those previous teams, those first three teams that got there, they had, you know, they were so outmatched. And those guys on that team will tell you that. It was not fair. They didn't really have a fighting chance. And now this team does. And they feel like they can do this. And they have every reason to believe they can. So it should be louder than heck. It should be full early. And hopefully folks will, you know, try to really become an extra man on the ice for this team. Boston is very good on the road, Dan. They have played well on the road all postseason. They're not going to be intimidated. They have won championships before. They know what this takes. But I can tell you that they've probably never played in a place that could be as loud and as hot-wired as Enterprise is on Saturday. I really do believe that. So hopefully the crowd brings it. And the other thing too is if Boston goes up, then don't get quiet. Don't get nervous. Don't get on the edge of your seat. This team doesn't play like that. They respond. So, you know, be loud from the jump, no matter what happens, and try to give that team a boost because I think it could help them.
I am proud to add to the website as an exclusive sponsor of Ben Fred Fridays, the St. Louis-based criminal defense firm of Henderson Watercutty. As many of you know, I'm proud to be from St. Louis, and Mick Henderson and Steve Watercutty are from St. Louis. they call it home. Their firm is the premier criminal defense firm in Missouri and Illinois. So being from St. Louis, they want to help people from our region. And all you have to do is go to their website, stlcriminaldefense.com. That's stlcriminaldefense.com. Now, on that website, you will see the countless testimonials of people who they have helped over the many years that they have been doing work for people in the region. On the site, there are frequently asked questions, categories, and a wealth of information to help guide you through the process of figuring out how to make decisions to protect your rights. And it doesn't matter how big or small the case. They're known for their communication with their clients, and this is why. You can reach them 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And they have a proven track record of handling your criminal defense and traffic needs. The St. Louis-based criminal defense firm of Henderson Watercutty. The website again. And really, go to the website. It's incredibly easy to navigate. stlcriminaldefense.com. Check it out. That's stlcriminaldefense.com. Or call them anytime, day or night, 24 hours a day. The number, 314-645-4400. 314-645-4400. The choice of a lawyer is an important decision and should not be based solely upon advertisements.
I can't recall a weekend, and I'm sure it's there, but in St. Louis sports history, or at least a day that Saturday will be like, where you have the Cubs, Cardinals, and you have Game 3 of the Stanley Cup Final. I'm not sure. I don't know if you've thought about this or researched it or looked it up, but I can't think of a time that it's been this big. Where now, I remember a Sunday in which McGuire hit 70 and the Rams were playing down in the dome down the street, but the team wasn't very good in that year, the Rams team. And obviously the Cardinals were out of the playoffs when he hit 70, so it was all about McGuire. But there was a buzz in downtown St. Louis. So in recent history, I was trying to think of times where it's been this good. I mean, I would assume it had to be a World Series game with something going on with the Blues maybe. But I just can't put it in perspective of what this may be like on Saturday night in downtown St. Louis.
No, I can't. And you would have a better recollection than I would, so I won't attempt to match you. But I will say, you know, with what's going on with the Blues right now, covering it, you have to remind yourself you're writing history. I mean, this team is, I don't use that word lightly. I hate seeing historic overplayed and overused. I think it cheapens the term, but this team is historic. This team is the first to win a game in the Stanley Cup Final. This team is the first to go from last in the league in points on January 3rd to a Stanley Cup Final. I mean, it has done things that are truly unprecedented. It's also going to be the first team to play a game in June. You know, no Blues team has ever done that before.
Right.
So we're talking about some things that are truly, truly first. So you try to encompass that in the coverage because you got to try to do it justice. And, you know, the Cardinals have had amazing, amazing moments, and they have clearly set the city on fire countless times with world championships and great individual accomplishments. But in some ways, because you only get one first, the Blues are in some ways a different kind of high, I think, because it is different when you have gone through the mud and, you know, the first, you only get one first impression and you only get one first taste of that high that is a championship. And then you want more, right? But those are in some ways always great, but always different. You can't tell me your second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth, ninth, tenth, 11th championship are as sweet as the first one you taste. It just can't be that way. So the Blues are a different kind of story right now. And you throw in the fact that the Cardinals are struggling and the Cubs are coming to town, and it is make for a fascinating, fascinating weekend, and in part because there's going to be a ton of Cubs fans here. The Cardinals fans are either selling some of their tickets or they're, you know, going to stay home to watch the game. And I think there are a lot of Cubs folks who are going to take advantage of that. So you're going to have a really interesting atmosphere at Busch Stadium. Which, you know, this is a Cubs team that's caught fire and also a team that I wouldn't be surprised, Dan, if some of that bad blood that boiled over at winter meeting or winter warm up, you know, the town is boring kind of stuff, that seems to be getting a little stir of the pot here in Chicago. If you watch that Chris Bryant video, the Cardinals are not in a good mood. They might be looking for a spark. I wouldn't be surprised if some of that doesn't boil over at Busch this weekend.
We're going to talk about that momentarily. Again, brought to you by STLCriminalDefense.com, the law firm of Henderson Watercutty, protecting your rights, defending your freedom. Number to call, 314-645-4400, 314-645-4400, available 24/7. Final question with the Blues would be, what kind of game do you expect? Because game one, we saw, you know, I thought the Bruins came out, and after the first 5 or 7 minutes, it was a team that was just skating around the Blues. And then a different Blues team in game two, and so physical. And you mentioned the hits earlier. It was amazing to watch the physical pounding in that game of an NHL game. How about your keys and what you expect for game number three?
Yeah, I think the physicality is going to continue to be there for St. Louis, and there's some bad blood quickly brewing in this series. Brad Marchand and Pat Maroon are not making fast friends. As much as Pat Maroon said he wants to avoid him and ignore him, easier said than done. There's going to be agitated feelings based off of the Oscar Sundquist suspension, the Robert Thomas hit. There's starting to be some bad feelings here. Oh, by the way, David Backes is in the middle of all of this, Dan. He is coming back to St. Louis as one of the key kind of agitators in this series. He's been outspoken against how he felt like the Sundquist hit was dirty and over the line. He has been mixing it up, whether it's with Alex Pietrangelo, his buddy, or Alexander Steen. And there's going to be some scuffling, I think, early. Now, I wouldn't be surprised if that doesn't happen early and then the game settles in, but the Blues, the key is going to be who rises to the occasion here. They've got some key players and Thomas and Sundquist out. I don't think people realize how big of a contributor Sundquist has been in this postseason. He's averaging almost 16 minutes a game. He kills penalties. He's top four in scoring in terms of goals. He has been a plus eight player in the postseason. That's ties for the team lead. That's how good he's been since the regular season ended. So losing him is a big deal, even if it is just for one game. So how do they balance things? Who comes in and who rises to the occasion? I don't think this is too crazy, but I'll make a prediction, and I made this prediction to my buddy Brendan Weese on KTRS Thursday night. I said, look, man, every player who has played in a postseason game for the Blues has scored, except for Jay Bouwmeester, Zach Sanford, and Jordan Binnington. Every single player that has played in a postseason game has scored a goal. I wouldn't be surprised if Zach Sanford finds a way, if he gets in the game, to get a goal, because that's what this team does. Their depth is pretty amazing. They have more guys who have scored postseason goals than the Bruins have. So the Bruins, the key is the top line. They've got to get that Marchand line going. That has been the story in Boston, is what's going on with the best players. They call it the perfection line, but it's had some bumps so far in this series. They're going to be really, really trying to get those guys going. The Blues should have the advantage because they'll have the last matchup there. And I think Craig Berube is going to like his, you know, we'll see if he'll go back to the top line against them, or maybe start that fourth line that he has liked against some of the other teams.
And we'll wrap it up with this. You mentioned it earlier. I know you've been covering the Blues, watching the Cardinals from afar, but something you saw up close, the comments made by Chris Bryant at the Cubs convention, and it trickled all over the place into St. Louis and national media. How do you think this affects this series going forward starting tonight?
Well, I don't know, but here's the thing, is it was over, and I feel like everybody had forgotten about it. And then, I don't know if you saw this, I'm sure the Cardinals have, Chris Bryant has that like 2.5, whatever minute video where he's kind of rehashing it just right before the start of the series. If I'm him, I don't know why I would have done that. We'll see if Yadier Molina going to be in the game, you think, for this series?
We're going to find out tonight. I don't know. I mean, so, I think it's still open for debate.
If Yadi's in, then all I know is that the Cardinals, they're not going to like that the Cubs are showing up in first place. They're not going to like that the Cubs are showing up and a bunch of their fans are here. They are looking for some sort of a spark here. You throw those things together, it wouldn't be the most surprising thing to me in the world if there isn't some yapping going on, not just at Enterprise, but at Busch.
I am proud to add to the website
as an exclusive sponsor of Ben Fred Fridays, the St. Louis-based criminal defense firm of Henderson Watercutty. As many of you know, I'm proud to be from St. Louis, and Mick Henderson and Steve Watercutty are from St. Louis. They call it home. Their firm is the premier criminal defense firm in Missouri and Illinois. So being from St. Louis, they want to help people from our region. And all you have to do is go to their website, stlcriminaldefense.com. That's stlcriminaldefense.com. Now, on that website, you will see the countless testimonials of people who they have helped over the many years that they have been doing work for people in the region. On the site, there are frequently asked questions, categories, and a wealth of information to help guide you through the process of figuring out how to make decisions to protect your rights. And it doesn't matter how big or small the case. They're known for their communication with their clients, and this is why. You can reach them 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and they have a proven track record of handling your criminal defense and traffic needs. The St. Louis-based criminal defense firm of Henderson Watercutty. The website again, and really, go to the website. It's incredibly easy to navigate. stlcriminaldefense.com. Check it out. That's stlcriminaldefense.com. Or call them anytime, day or night, 24 hours a day. The number, 314-645-4400. 314-645-4400. The choice of a lawyer is an important decision and should not be based solely upon advertisements.
I think it's going to be fun. I love this kind of stuff. It makes it interesting over the course of a long, long regular season. And obviously, it's always fun when two teams like this are good. And I do believe both teams are good. And then when you add this kind of drama, if you want to call it that, into the series, it makes it fun.
Yep. And I think the thing, too, is the Cardinals are walking that fine line between trying to be patient and trying to, you know, start to figure out what's real and what's not with this team. It's clearly not playing like they thought it could. I don't think they're as bad as they have looked. I don't know that they're as good as they think they are. But a series like this is a good measuring stick because you can't take one on the chin from the team that's leading your division and tell people that it doesn't matter. This is going to be a put up or shut up moment for this team. They're already starting to make some tweaks and start to shuffle through some depth and see what they've got. But if they don't put up a strong performance against the Cubs, then at some point, you know, you get a little bit closer to sounding some pretty serious alarms. You don't ever want to go full panic mode this early in a season. But if you look at their record against the Central and the fact that they started kind of trending in the wrong direction in Chicago, that would be a couple series against the Cubs there where you don't stack up against the team you know you need to beat for the division.
Ben, as always, fun to visit on these Fridays, and great job covering the Blues on the Post-Dispatch. We'll catch up next Friday.
Sounds good, brother. Talk soon.